Yeah, well, thanks, Annie. I know I a couple of weeks ago, I think we did our last kids club before the school holidays, and the theme that we were having at our last one was "I'm forgiven." And we did a little science experiment where you have this liquid and you tip a bit of dye in there, and we got black dye deliberately because it was very visual, and you put the dye in there, and then there's this other solution that you get, and you're talking about this is our sins, you know, and we've all stuffed up, if that terminology we want to use, and then you pour this other solution in, and what actually happens is it makes that black disappear, and it's just clear water just sitting there. Exactly what Jesus dying on the cross has done for each of us. It's not just wiped it out. It's actually removed it, so it's back to clear and with clarity. And speaking of Kids Club, our next one's this Friday night, the 29th. So it's on the 29th. And if anyone wants to be involved, we're happy to take helpers. And it's always a great, loud, exciting time. And many hands make light work. So lock it in your diaries, the 29th. And then it's going to run every fortnight thereafter for the term. So lock that in, the 29th. If you want to help, you're more than welcome to give Tone and I come and have a chat to us. And then on the 6th, Friday the 6th, is going to be the first youth for the term, so lock that in your calendar. Beck Dennis, who most of you I think would have met on the Sunday that she's here, she will be here from the 2nd, leading our youth on the 6th. So lock that in your calendar and come along for what will be a great night with more information regarding the term moving forward, happening just after that. And then Anella, it's her last Sunday with us this morning. So I'm going to get Trev, if that's all right. Trev, if you want to pray for Anella, I think that would be wonderful as she... I'm going to let Trev do the talking. He's the best for that one.
Yeah, come on, Anella. You just jump up here. Thanks if you don't mind. I didn't warn her, but I might have sort of, did I? I said I knew it was her last Sunday. So Anella's been with us for a good year. Come here and face everyone. And there's some people there watching us too. So... come this way a bit. All right, there you go. Push you around a little. Okay, so Anella's been here for a bit over a year and working at Toloka as the care manager there. Her mum and dad, we really enjoyed that her mum and dad came to visit. I met her brother the other day, which was really lovely. But mum and dad really enjoyed their time with us, and they just spoke so often about how they felt welcomed when they came along to church and just from the church community. But Anella as well, she's been the care manager at Toloka but has now got a position as a facility manager at Hawk's Nest. So don't think I've been to Hawk's Nest, but everyone I mentioned that to says it's a beautiful place. So the Hutchies go up near that way for their holidays, don't you? So you'll have to go and check in with Anella, okay? But anyway, it's been really great just to just be part of her journey, I guess, through this 12 months when she first came. She was on her own, so Sam and I just had her for a meal a few times and just got to know her a little and just really appreciate her heart. And it's just been beautiful to have her here with us. So she's bought a house in town, so I said every 6 months she'll have to come and just check on the house and pay a visit. Who thinks that's a good idea? All right, so anyway, so bless you, Anella. We thought it'd be good just to pray for you this morning. Is that all right? So, Father, we thank you for Anella. We thank you that things don't happen by chance, but, Lord, you bring people into our world, into our sphere, and likewise we get to meet people and build relationship, establish relationship with people. And, Father, so often that's just part of your plan, part of your unfolding agenda and purpose in our life. And we sense that there's been something significant, something right about the season that we've journeyed together. So we just commit Anella to you. We pray, beginning in one way with her job, we pray that there would just be your hand upon her to guide her and lead her and give her favor, to equip her and enable her to do that job faithfully, because, Lord, every job is a ministry. And so we pray that you would just be with her in that, giving care and overseeing that facility there in Hawk's Nest. But also, Lord, we pray that you would just be so with her, and your hand would be so rich upon her, Father, in her own journey of faith, that she'll just continue to grow in you and just to know your hand of protection, encouragement, strength, Lord, and provision upon her in every way. So, Father, we just commit her to you. We release her and send her off with our blessing. Pray, Lord, that you just keep your hand rich and mighty upon her. Hedge her around, protect her and keep her, we pray, and her family, who we've got to know and love as well. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So bless you.
Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can we can come around your word this morning, Lord, and we just give it rightful place, Lord. We just submit to it this morning, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you're just welcome here, and you're already here, I know, speaking amongst us, Lord, and would you do something new in each of our hearts today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this week, I suppose, I've been thinking about what I was going to prepare as I will speak, as I always do. And this week we're away for a few days at conference, and that's always a great time. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll try and get some people to come up and just let you know how great it is. But if you ever get the chance to go along, I'd encourage you to go along. It's always challenging, but it's always great. So I was thinking this week about what do you want to speak to us about? And you know, I was a little bit of the aspect of what Annie was talking about was what I want to talk on this morning is just hearing His voice with clarity. You know, I think this week at conference, the main theme of conference was making disciples, and it was very practical in the sense that they're providing keys and they're providing different tools to sharing our message and discipling those that are around about us. And I kept coming back to this notion of hearing His voice with clarity. And so this morning I just want to talk on that a little bit. And from the moment that you wake up to the moment that you go to sleep, there's thousands of different sounds, there's thousands of different voices that are competing for our attention. You know, there's this collaboration of noise that would just bombard us from the moment that we wake up and until the moment that we fall asleep. Well, it is that like that for me. I don't usually dream. When I am asleep, I'm asleep. And so it's like this bombardment of noise from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, Tone and I, we got a balloon ride for Christmas. And so we thought, yeah, wonderful. We're going to go to Canberra for the weekend. And anyway, the balloon ride was cancelled. It was a bit too windy. But Tone and I got to spend the weekend together. Anyway, we were in the motel getting ready to go to sleep one night. And all we could hear was the noise of cars going past, the busy, you know, the real country person here, the busyness of the city, and we were just wanting some quiet. So what did we do? We downloaded an app, and it was just called Fan App, I think, and it just makes this noise that blocks out all the other noise so that I can sleep. Is there anyone else who sleeps with a fan on every night? You know, I'm with you, Drew. We have one on in our house. Doesn't matter if it's the middle of winter, -1,000. We've got this fan on, and the purpose of the fan is not to cool us down. It's to block out all of the other noise. And it's to block out all of this noise. And you know what? We live in a day and age where noise is just bombarding us. Noise is just all around about us. And you know, like in the some of the younger ones won't know this, but when you used to have to tune your TV in, you know, like when you have to tune it in, when you haven't quite got it right, you'd have this other little noise going with it, or those that are even older still, and they would have a radio, and the radio wasn't digital, it was, you had to tune it by hand to try and block out all the other noise to get that noise. And what I want to talk about this morning is I want each of us, if I could say one thing, and if you fall asleep after this, that's okay, but if I could say one thing this morning, I want to be one myself. This is my challenge this morning as well, but I want to be able to just, you know how when you, some kids mightn't get this analogy, but I hope you do. When I was younger, you'd have to tune the radio in, you know, and you'd tune it in. And if you didn't quite have it right, or right on that dial, you'd have that little bit of background noise that was just really, really annoying. But when I'm talking about hearing with clarity, I'm talking about being able to tune in so well that all of that background noise is removed. And so the loudest voice is the voice of the Holy Spirit on our heart this morning. And that would be my challenge for each of us this morning. You know, like I've had times where of late when I mow the lawn, my customary routine is to go out and I put my noise cancelling headphones in And they're like my earmuffs. They block out the other noise, but I get to listen to a sermon or some music or whatever. But occasionally, what might happen occasionally is I will be there mowing the lawn. I'll be in my own little world. I'll be listening to something. And then something grabs my attention out of the corner of my eye, usually Tone, coming out to tell me something. But the noise of what's going on around about me blocks out the voice of someone that I should be hearing with clarity. I should be able to hear Tone with clarity, and that's an important thing. So as I was preparing this message this week, you know, and even this week as I was sitting at conference, I began to think that maybe there is some noise that's in each of our lives that actually is actually masking the sound and the voice of people we really need to hear. You know, this week, one of the things, as I mentioned at conference, it was talking about making disciples, sharing my faith. And there was a number of times throughout the conference, I just sat back and I said, yes, God, I'm open to that. I'm open to that. I'm challenged by that. But what does it look like in my community? What does it look like in a community where I know everyone? Whereas I don't want to fall on the err on the side of caution, where I don't share my faith for the sake of breaking a relationship. But I don't want to be so focused on sharing my faith, all I do is break relationship. It's how can I have this, this hearing His voice with clarity so that I'm able to, because who knows that His voice is much better than my own thinking. It's able to do things and understand the situation better than myself. And if I was just so in tune with His voice, I wouldn't break relationship, because as I speak, I'm speaking what He wants to say. I'm doing what He wants me to do. And when I'm doing what He wants me to do in a way that He wants me to do it, it's better than what I could actually think or imagine. You know, and I've been listening to a song. This is just by way of introduction. I've been listening to a song this week, and it's a song called Make Room. And it's got this part of the song. It actually says this. It says, shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion, your way is better. You know, like what I've been saying to myself and just letting that permeate my heart is go, your way is better. So break down any of the things that I may have, any of the customary things that I do or think or believe, or it has to be done this way, it has to be done that way. No, I can't do that. Break all that away. Break all the things that I think are, this is the right way, or I have to, and because I know your way is better. And allow me to hear your voice with clarity, because when I hear your voice with clarity, your way is better. Your way is better. You see, what if our life is so full of noise that we actually can't hear the voice of a friend in need? Or what if our life is so full of noise that we don't actually hear our kids talking to us? Or what if we're in a situation, there's so much noise around about us that we can't hear the words of a loved one? Or whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. You know, in today's culture, we've got all these voices constantly competing, constantly fighting, constantly bombarding us from the moment that we wake up. And this morning I just want to share a really, really simple message about how we can identify some of the other voices that mask out the real voice of who we actually need to hear. And then when we understand, and then when we recognize some of those not so great voices that can bombard us, we can actually then tune in and hear His voice with clarity. You see, James 1 verse 19, it says, understand this, my brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to get angry. You know, this verse doesn't set a criteria but rather this verse, it says that let every man have ears to hear what God is actually saying. So what God is actually saying here is He desires for us to be ones that are actually swift to hear His voice, to hear His words, to hear what He's saying. You see, we live in a day where God wants a voice, not an echo. You know, an echo is a repeated sound. It's a reverberated sound. You see, an echo is so often used in our life, we echo someone else's opinion, or we echo someone else's thoughts, or behavior, or patterns, or whatever it may be. But God wants us to not be an echo, but rather be a conduit to hear His voice and speak it out. Because what I believe is, I believe that each of us in here have got people in our sphere that you are the only one that can reach. Not me. No, you are. Like who you're connected with, who you're in relationship with, who you're surrounded by, you are called to be a conduit to hear His voice and then speak it out in a way that is sensitive, yes, mindful, yes, but authoritative, yes, all of those things in your world. You see, I can listen to other people's revelations and they'll sustain me for a period. But when you actually hear the voice of an almighty God, that's different. When you actually hear it, it sustains you for a lifetime. See, God's saying in this culture, in this day which we're living in, He's saying, don't just let my voice be an echo of someone else's revelation, of someone else's belief system, but now grab hold of your own belief system. Get into the Word of God and actually work out your own truth. And would you allow the voice of God to be the dominant voice in your life? You see, we are in a constant battle of voices. With the introduction of internet, I found this interesting. With the introduction of internet, you and I, our 4-year-old kids who can access iPads and whatever else they can do these days, they access more information in one day than what someone growing up 100 years ago would access in a lifetime. You see, we're in a constant battle for what voice are we going to listen to? What voice are we going to align ourselves to? This is occurring on a daily basis, on a number of topics, in a number of forums, and God's saying, no, I don't want you to be an echo. I want you to be my voice. I want you to be someone who speaks life and speaks truth. Speaks life and speaks truth. So I'm going to look this morning, if you've got your Bible, go to Matthew 16. And in this passage, I want to identify some of the voices that you and I hear on a daily basis. You know, some of the noise that masks out other noises. You know, and I don't want to be, I don't want to live a life where all the other noise masks out the voice of God as He speaks. And Matthew 16, we're going to start from verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesar Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then He commanded His disciples that they should tell no one that He was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. You see, in this passage of Scripture, I want to identify 4 different voices this morning. We may not get to all 4 today, and if that's the case, I'll do it next time. But 4 different voices this morning that you and I would hear on a regular basis. And my whole reason to identify these voices is some of these voices will actually mask the voice of God. And if you and I actually identify these other voices, it will provide us with better clarity to hear the voice of God, because we need to hear His voice. So the first voice that I want to identify is the voice of the crowd. You see, when Jesus came into the region, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." The first voice here is the voice of the crowd. So in this passage, Jesus is asking His disciples, who does the crowd say He actually is? You see, they come back with varying opinions, because the crowd will always have an opinion, but it won't always necessarily be right. So the disciples, they rattle off a whole range of opinions of who they say Jesus is. There is something about the voice of the crowd, and I've observed a few things about the crowd that is around and about my own life. See, the voice of the crowd will bring you down to size. The voice of the crowd is a voice of impossibility. The voice of you can't do that. The voice of the crowd may be a voice of criticism. The voice of the crowd can only voice what they can comprehend. You see, in this passage, you see society, the crowd, could comprehend who Jesus may be. That's all they could voice. They could never voice that He was the Son of the living God. That they did not know the truth of His reality, but they would hazard a guess who He possibly could be. You see, the voice of the crowd will always speak the status quo. And don't move ahead. Stay where you're at. And the voice of the crowd could be a voice of judgment. Now, that's not always the case. But if you and I identify the voice around, it allows us with greater clarity to hear the voice of an almighty God. You see, it's so important with who we surround ourselves with, because we always become like those we surround ourselves with. So we need to identify the voice of the crowd that may speak into your life, and how you actually eliminate that, and at times you just need to shut the door. You see, shut the door on those voices that come against you. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 4, there's a drought in the land, and a prophet comes to this lady's home. And she's a widow and she has 2 kids. And on this day, these 2 kids are going to be sold to repay a debt. Her oil's running out. Her flour's running out. And a man of God says to her, "I want you to go into all the community, and I want you to grab as many containers as you can and come back in here, because I'm prophesying that your oil is not going to run out. It's not going to dry in this season." And in verse 4 it says this, "And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into those vessels and set aside the full ones." And see, why did the prophet say that she needed to shut the door to the crowd? Because the voice of the crowd could potentially speak impossibility. The voice of the crowd will only say what they can comprehend. You see, "Mum, your kids are going to be sold off to repay the debts." The voice of the crowd will always speak what is before us and what is known. And here the prophet is saying, no, shut the door to the voice of the crowd so you can see the miracle working power of God flow in your life. Matthew 6, it talks about when you pray, shut the door. You see, there are times when we need to shut the door to the noise that's around about us. And this way we can spend time with God without the criticism, without the judgment, without the opinions of others around about us. This morning, who do you need to shut the door to? What voices do you need to shut the door to allow you to hear with greater clarity the voice of an almighty God? The second voice this morning that I want to identify is the voice of self. And Annie spoke a little bit about this, the voice of self. And Jesus says to His disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" See, He's looking for a personal response. He's not asking about what the crowd are comprehending, but He's saying, "Who do you say I am?" This morning, what is the dominant sound of your voice? What does your voice default to when you find yourself in a difficult or a tough situation? And then don't be critical on yourself. But recognize that it's the voice that resonates between your ears that determines how we deal and how we cope with all the other voices that we hear. What's your dominant voice? You see, maybe it's a voice of pride. Maybe it's a voice of doubt. Maybe it's a voice of insecurity or on the flip side. Maybe it's a voice of faith. Maybe it's the voice of belief. Maybe it's a voice of encouragement. What is your default of your heart's position? I talk about your own voice because we can recognize our own voice. Really, really easy. We'll be able to hear that with better clarity than most other voices. And it's really important to understand and recognize the voice of self in order to hear the voice of an almighty God. What does your voice sound like? You know, in my soon to be 38 years on planet Earth, I've learned that it's not what you think you are, but rather who you think you are that holds you back. What's the sound of your voice? You see, the woman with the issue of blood, she had this infirmity for 12 years and she says, if only I can touch his robe. You see, after 12 years with this issue, her voice still said as Jesus was walking through her town on that day, if only I can touch his robe. And we know the conclusion of that story. She reaches out and she touches his robe. Her anointing leaves his body and she's healed. You see, what's the sound of your voice today? If only I can touch him. If only, you see, if you identify the voice of the crowd, if you identify your voice, it is going to give you greater clarity to hear the voice of an almighty God. And the third voice this morning that I want to concentrate on, trying to roll through them quickly for you, because I know some people are thinking of the coffee. But this morning, the third voice that I want to concentrate on this morning is the voice of God. You see, in verse 16, it says, Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You see, in this passage, Jesus is saying to Peter, you are not smart enough to come up with this statement on your own. You do not have enough human wisdom. You do not have enough cognitive capacity or cognitive thought process. But he says, my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You see, the voice of God flows directly into Peter and he just blurts out this statement. And that's how God wants you and I to live, that we would be swift to hear in the culture and the day in which we live in. That we would hear the voice of an almighty God. You see, the voice of God is powerful. It's a powerful voice. It's a voice of instruction. It's also a voice of correction. It's a voice of compassion. You see, it's a multifaceted voice. It can be a voice of a trumpet. Well, it can also be a still, small voice. It can be a hammer that will break the hardest of hearts open. It can be the sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we get hold of the voice of God, it changes everything. There's something amazing about the voice of God. And I've found this, when you hear God's voice, everything changes. You know, if you can think back to times where you've heard the voice of God, it changes everything. It gives you comfort. It strengthens you to go again. You and I, we just need to hear the voice of God and we need to hear it with clarity. We need to hear it daily for every season of our life. I think about my own life and different things that have happened and different seasons I've been through. But what I do know is when I'm in a moment where I hear the voice of an almighty God, the situation is irrelevant. It brings life, it brings vitality, it brings strength, it brings comfort, it brings truth. It just speaks to us and don't we all want to be ones that just hear with clarity? And as we hear with clarity, we've got the confidence to just be Jesus to our friend, be Jesus to our neighbor, and just be able to have the grace and the love and the confidence and just that ability just to speak truth into every situation. You see, we need to hear the voice, and as we hear His voice, everything changes. It says His grace is sufficient for all we need. And I think of the story of Jesus going through the waters of baptism in Matthew 3. As He's going through the waters of baptism, He hears the voice of His dad. And His dad says this, He says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I think this is an amazing statement because at this time, Jesus is yet to do anything. It's sort of like looking at your newborn child and saying, "Oh, I'm so pleased in you," and all they've done is cry, have a bottle, and required you to change their nappy. They haven't done anything. It's a little bit like that in this time. Jesus is yet to do anything, yet He hears this voice. And even though He's yet to do anything, and any miracle, His Father comes and He speaks over Him and He declares that He is pleased. And this morning that God is speaking over your life exactly the same thing. It's about hearing the voice of God and everything changes. You see, God's voice speaks with power to change, with instruction to life, with the correction to make, with the compassion to forgive, with the clarity to reveal Himself. There's something super powerful about hearing the voice of God. You see, today God loves you and He doesn't want His voice to just be an echo, a resounding echo. No, He wants His voice to speak to you with great clarity. And the fourth voice, the last voice this morning that I want to talk about is the voice of the enemy. In verse 21 it says, "From that time Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen.' But He turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" You see how quickly we can hear the wrong voice. You see, just verses earlier, Peter he's this superstar. He's heard the voice of an almighty God. And here he is a few verses later, you know, hearing this crowded out noise of the enemy. You see, and you and I, if you and I can recognize the voice of the enemy, it's going to give us greater clarity to hear the voice of an almighty God. You see, the voice of the enemy will oppose. It will speak condemnation. It will declare shame and fear over your life. It's a voice of temptation. It's a voice of deception. You see, and as we look at these verses and these four voices we've identified, you know, the great challenge this morning is to be able to recognize if any of the voices are hindering us from hearing the voice of an almighty God, because we need to hear His voice moment by moment. Day by day, we need to hear His voice. You see, the voice of the crowd is masking the voice of an almighty God. The voice of self is dominating. It won't allow you to hear the voice of God. Or the voice of the enemy deceiving you, bringing shame, bringing condemnation into your life. To each of these voices, at the same time, we say, shut the door. You know, shut the door so you can hear the voice of God with great clarity. And as we close this morning, and I'll get the musicians to come, and as we close this morning, some very quick points on how we can cut through the noise and we can recognize the voice of an almighty God. You see, God's voice is always consistent with His word. God's voice will always be consistent with your shape. And when I say that, I believe God is interested in enlarging, stretching us, but God has gifted each and every one of us, and God speaks, He's going to line it up to the shape that He designed us, He's destined us to be. You see, God can do the extraordinary. Like He did with Gideon, where courage rises up to outwork our God-given shape. But God's voice speaks according to our shape. You see, if I heard a voice saying, "I want you to be an opera singer," I could quickly dismiss that voice and you'd all thank me for it, as it doesn't line up with the shape that God's destined for me. God's voice will always be convicting rather than condemning. Conviction is from God. Condemnation comes from the enemy. You see, conviction points to a way of change. Condemnation makes you feel bad and makes you move in a backward direction. You see, conviction always leads to the possibility of a better day, while condemnation makes us feel hopeless. Would you cut through all of the noise this morning? God's voice will always be Christ-centered and not self-centered. It's not about me and it's not about my desires. God's voice will always bring peace. Initially, when he's enlarging us, it may scare the living daylights out of you. But over time, it's just going to bring peace. If it doesn't bring peace over a period of time, it's probably not the voice of God, because his voice leaves a residue of peace. You see, would you recognize today how you in your own situation can isolate those voices, those noises that are in our lives, and as a result, hear his voice with better clarity? Hear the voice of an almighty God with so much clarity that you and I, we are outworking his plan for us. We're being light and salt in our community because we're hearing his voice with clarity. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you that as we recognize the voice of the crowd, as we recognize the voice of self, and even as we recognize the voice of the enemy, Lord, and we understand each of them, would you allow us to be able to be ones that shut the door so we can hear your voice? Even right now, supernaturally, would you bring a tuner over our hearts today? Would you retune each of us so that we can be in tune with you? We can be in tune with you. You know, even as that song, Make Room, it talks about making room for you to do whatever you want to do. To do whatever you want to do, because we surrender to you today. We surrender to you and have your way today and every day in our hearts, in our lives, Lord. Would you break down those walls, whatever they may be? Supernaturally, would you do a retuning? Supernaturally, would you break down any thought process that is hindering us from hearing from you? Would we be able to hear your voice with such clarity? But Father, I pray that you'd not just allow us to hear your voice, but be ones that listen and respond. Doers of your voice. Whatever that may be, wherever we are, would you give us courage to hear and do? Respond. Be your hands and feet. We just thank you that we can be your servants. What a huge privilege and honor to do relationship and life with you. We just bless you this morning. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.